This is it. The show of the century. Mark, that is. Happy 100.
Thank you. I don't feel a day over 98.
And for episode 100, we set the mark for the shortest cold open ever.
Well, you know, as you get older, sometimes your performance diminishes.
Right. That does happen from time to time.
It happens to everyone, John. Okay?
I'm not going.
I'm under a lot of stress.
No, this is episode 100 of Foul Territory. I'm John Semple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Al Oliver episode. Al Oliver wore number zero for several years. Highest wore of any person to wear. And actually 21 people have worn the number zero in Major League Baseball history. That was a surprise to me that there were so many.
Okay, so zero movies, there's less than zero, right? Mm-hmm. Which was sort of like Robert Downey Jr.'s first foray into like telling everybody that he had a drug problem.
Right.
And then there's also, do you remember the movie Zero Effect?
Its title sounds familiar.
Bill Pullman is sort of like a quirky private detective guy.
No, I do remember that one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good movie. Anyway, Zero Dark 30.
Zero, yeah, very good.
Oh, wait a minute. Is it Dark 30 or Dark 40?
30. I believe it's 30. Zero Dark 30?
Zero Dark 30. Zero Dark 40. I mean, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Any other Zero movies?
Zero. We have less than zero. Zero.
I remember Mr. Zero from When Harry Met Sally. He was the mover.
Right.
That knew about Harry's... wife moving out before he did. And he said, Mr. Zero knew before you did?
Anyway. Going deep into the treasure trove of movie history. We're the zeros.
I got to do something with all this knowledge, this important, important knowledge that I have. I might as well just let everyone hear it.
Well, I feel like there should be some sort of fanfare music playing in the background. See? It was worth it, wasn't it?
I'm just glad that we were able to increase our special effects budget.
Okay, folks, let's jump into the headlines, and we'll try to deliver a show worthy of the 100th episode of Foul Territory.
You know what? It may be episode 100, but it feels like it's been 1,000. Just in this one episode.
So we're going to kick off the show with your favorite subject. The Red Sox.
The Red Sox. World champs. World Series.
The Dread Sox.
Oof.
Not a good start. And it's not just the kind of, you know, the West Coast slumpiness and, you know, their home opener was a total, you know, they laid an egg on that. But their starting pitching is not looking like starting pitching. Not championship pitching anyway.
I mean, I've seen this happen with teams before where every now and then, like, the starting rotation is just bad. It's just weird for the team to come into the season. Anything you do at the start of the season seems more significant than it does like in the middle of June, right? Like if their starters had this run in the middle of June, you wouldn't really notice it. It would just be like, oh yeah, well they just had like a bad run here and whatever. But for them to kick off the season, get their butts handed to them on the West Coast, which admittedly is a tough swing, and most East Coast teams do have a little trouble with that. Yeah, but to start 2-8, it's their worst start in team history. And what are they now, 3-9?
Nine.
That's not good.
No, not a good start.
It's the worst start for a defending champion since the Marlins. And didn't that Marlins team, if I remember correctly, had sold off everybody?
Right, so...
All the Red Sox sold off was Craig Kimbrell and Joe Kelly. And I will say, so far, the bullpen's not been a problem. And Joe Kelly has been a disaster for the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that was part of the Red Sox strategy. Joe, you go to the Dodgers so that when we face them in the World Series.
He's a really good pitcher. I just don't think he was as great as he was during that last half of the season.
He leveraged that moment for sure into some big money. So kudos to him.
I was surprised the Dodgers fell for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like the Dodgers had a horrible bullpen. You know, they had some
bullpen problems. Mainly it's Joe Kelly.
Well, I mean, before last season, it wasn't.
Well, maybe that was the problem. They were like, we have a really good bullpen. Let's spice things up a little bit. Bring in Joe Kelly. See what happens.
Make it more challenging. And maybe he's for
like,
Dave Roberts.
You know, because he's a Dodger fan, right?
Uh-huh.
Joe Kelly.
Oh.
He's from Southern California. So maybe he's like, yeah, maybe he's like a little nervous, a little extra pressure, trying to do a little too much. And I will say, definitely doing too much home runs.
Right. His ERA is pretty high, isn't it? In the double digits.
It is in the double digits. Yeah. I mean, it's no Trevor Rosenthal.
Well, he did get an out, or he did
Trevor
get his
Rosenthal
ERA
got
below.
his out, yes. Got his ERA down from infinity
to 72.
Oh, he got it down to 72.
I think it's 72 or something.
At
like
one
that,
point, yeah. I saw that it was 181.
Yeah, so he's dominating now.
He must have gotten a couple of outs. Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a bounce back from, you know, Tommy John, so we'll see.
Here's the thing about this guy. I was actually kind of excited for him this year as a deep pick in fantasy leagues and, like, what a great signing by the Nationals. Because before he got his surgery, he was having some trouble, and then he figured it out. He figured out, and he was striking out everybody mm-hmm. for the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he blew out his arm or elbow. And then, which is part of the arm, admittedly, but right. specifically right. the elbow, Tommy John, and he came back and was like, yeah, Sean Doolittle usually takes, you know, about a third of the season off for injury. Like, this is a great pickup. Lots mm-hmm. of strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I didn't get him anywhere because a lot of people were thinking that about him, and they were all wrong, and
overpaid.
He has been awful.
Yeah. So, well, maybe he's righted the ship and things will get better. Well, they have to
he's
get
so
better.
Bad he should be on the Red Sox right now.
Well, I was going to ask, is Josh Beckett hanging around the clubhouse by any chance? Is that part of the problem?
Josh Beckett, one of the few baseball players that had a successful core surgery.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a lot of players come back from that one.
Yeah, I think it had a lot to do with the beer and the fried chicken.
Well, you know what? There's nothing better for your core than fried chicken and beer.
Yeah, that's good.
Any doctor will tell you that.
So to add insult to injury, Brock Holt, his son, decided to poke him in the eye and put him on the IL.
Yeah. Apparently reenacting Three Stooges bits.
post that we had on baseball memes.
Yeah, we did a little Red Sox meme that had Three Stooges there.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Maybe Brock Holt saw that, was like, what a great idea.
Let's reenact that.
Come here, son.
So one thing I was surprised that isn't even in your headlines at all is any mention of the Mariners. Not even a hint. Not a
How
whiff.
Great have they been?
They've been pretty darn good.
First of
all
I, you know
place.
Me, John. I never really put good stuff on the headline
That's
list.
True. That is true.
I'm not a half glass full kind of person.
Yeah, you like to pile on.
Unless it's more like it's half full of poop.
Right. And I think that this should be mentioned, too, that over the last couple of weeks, the Red Sox have performed poorly. And you, as much as it pains you, you have piled on.
It doesn't pain me at all.
It pains you a little bit.
There's a lot of pain, John. I'm merely masking it by saying that there is no pain.
So, yeah, Red Sox, poor start. Mariners, shockingly amazing start. They
yes.
hit a home run in all 14 games.
Yes.
That's ties.
Jay Bruce has 7 home runs.
I know. It's the
Just
Jay
in case someone thinks that was an audio glitch, Jay Bruce has 7 home runs.
Right. It's the 2017 version of Jay Bruce.
So
he's back.
Nuts.
He's back. Haniger hits a ninth inning home run. They get the win last night to extend the streak to 14 straight games. They have scored 6 or more runs in 12 of 14 games. First time that's happened since 1908. So they're scoring runs in bunches. I still don't think that pitching staff is going to sustain that. But as you mentioned last week with the Dodgers, if you're scoring 6-8 runs a game, the pitching can show some weak spots.
Yeah.
But I just don't.
Yeah, it's okay to be fragile. To be like, right. I mean, that's how the Brewers made it all the way to almost the World Series.
Yeah, yeah. But even if the Mariners go 500, they still win 86 games. so the rest of the way. So they're I mean, it's a good start, but can they sustain? Now, if they open up like the Tigers did in 83, I think it was 83, at 35-5, I'll say I think they're a shoo-in for the playoffs. Long way to go, but they have been beating up on poor teams. So that's what you're supposed to do, is beat up the guys that you're supposed to beat up, and so far they've done that. Let's see. Not to say that they were supposed to beat up on the Red Sox, but so far that held true a little bit. But, yeah, I it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Speaking of piling on, Yasiel Puig got into a little bit of a tiff with Chris Archer after he was the pitch to Puig? Was Puig at bat, or was Puig just
It was another batter. Some batter had showboated on a home run, and Chris Archer took exception.
Uh-huh. And threw whiz one by the next batter's head?
Yes.
Nice.
And again, I'm not one of these guys who's like, throwing at batters is blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you know what? I'm kind of okay a little bit with throwing, but you got to throw it lower, man.
Yeah, you can't go head hunting. If you pluck them in the back or in the leg, I'm all for that. It's part of I like that unwritten rule in baseball, even if it's a brush back.
Yeah.
Don't have to be hit, but when you throw like 6 feet behind the guy or, you know, up and in, you know, at his head, that's a problem.
I mean, just especially cuz the head. You know what I mean? Like So it's almost like, my opinion is, if there's a possibility that it can go at the head, then you just don't do it. Then you take it out of the game completely. Right. But I'm going to tell you this, suspending Archer for 5 games basically means he wasn't suspended.
Right. He just misses a start.
He was he doesn't even miss a start. He just moves his start back one day.
One day. Yeah, that's true. It's no big deal.
You're giving him extra rest. You know what, Chris? And another thing, here's $1 million.
Right, and Puig
and here's a delicious sandwich. How do you feel about that, Chris?
Here's a $15,000 bonus for making the All-Star team.
I don't think Chris Archer has to worry about that bonus. No.
So Chris Davis's record, he's pushing to get this in an untouchable zone. Not only did he pass the record. The reverse DiMaggio. He has extended to 50+. We're 50.
It's over 50 now.
Yeah.
Oh
God, it's awful.
Man, you know who had the record before him was Eugenio Suarez, who's now an all-star third baseman for the Reds.
Uh-huh.
But he had 46. He was over 46 at one point.
Yeah.
Chris Davis, 52. That's crazy. This guy's making $25 million a year. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, John, I could go over 50.
I could do
for
that
half
too.
That price.
I think I could get a hit in 50 at bats. I think I could do it.
Look,
at my age,
I don't think you could, but I think you could still do as well for half the price. Maybe even a quarter of the price.
I'd go a fifth.
As long as they covered airfare, yes, I would take $6 million.
Yeah, it's definitely an exercise in futility at this point. And he said that he's hoping that he can turn it around. He's saying all the right things. I mean, there was even talk about sending him down. He's out of options. So do you think anybody would take a chance on a $23 million 0-for-50 streak player?
Going out on a limb here, John, I think he would clear waivers.
Yes, I do too. No problem.
I don't think anyone takes that deal. Here's the thing. He worked on his swing in the offseason, right?
Yeah.
He's now worse. So whatever you did, Chris, the opposite.
Right. Just look at the tape from, you know.
Just do the other way.
Yeah, from 15 on. So that 15 to 18 or 15 to 17 when he had, where I used him before that, 13, 14, 15. Good seasons then.
Yeah.
What's the difference? But, you know. He was a big part of their resurgence when they kind of made it to the playoffs again. Was it 4 or 5 years in a row? And he was a big part of it. So, you know, what have you done?
Well, he was found
lately?
Money from the Rangers. The Rangers dumped him or traded him away.
You remember
all
that talk about that, too, at the time? It's like, wow, they let one slip away. Not so much.
Well,
not so much.
Yeah, I don't know that the Rangers would have necessarily given him a $25 million a year extension.
No.
Okay. And like competing with nobody.
Yeah.
That was the amazing thing about that Orioles deal. It was totally just Boris going to the owner and being like, hey, how about I give you a back rub and you give me $160 million deal? And the guy was like, yes.
Right. And since then, Angelos has handed over the reins to his sons, and his sons are left with this mess to deal with.
Angelos is down at that Florida rub and tug that Bob Kraft goes to.
Right. They're hanging out.
He's like, I don't need Boris anymore. Right. I got this rub and tug down in Florida.
So another surprise story of the season, no one saw this coming either, is the Tigers off to a first place 8-4 start, but Shane Green has gotten a save in each one of their wins. That's the first time in history that anyone's ever gotten as many saves in a short amount of time.
And just again, so that people don't think this is an audio glitch, Shane Green, right, 8-for-8 on save opportunities.
Right.
Look, this has always been one of those guys in fantasy baseball where I've been like, no thanks. He may get you saves, but you are going to pay. He is going to give up runs and walks and hits. But the guy's been unhittable. Yeah. Like, it's totally crazy. And not just like a flukish. I mean, it's a little flukish whenever anyone does that. But that's not Mariano. But, like, this guy's the best closer in baseball right now.
Yeah.
And that's weird, man. Baseball's weird.
And if nobody picked him up, you know, in their drafts, guaranteed overpay in auctions.
Well, I mean, he's the kind of guy that always gets drafted because, like, well, he's the quote-unquote closer. And, yeah, it's Detroit, and they aren't going to win that many games. So he's the guy you get for a buck in an auction, or it's, like, round 22. And you're just like, oh, I need a closer. I need someone. Point. No, it's ridiculous value.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already a $5 value on the year if he – well, I guess he could invert. But, like, it's ridiculous.
Chances are pretty good that he won't be able to
Yes.
He'll have a great season if he doubles.
He will
that.
Regress, John. He will regress.
Yeah. If he gets 16 saves, it'll be a good year.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, maybe the Tigers can do well in a division where they play three pretty mediocre teams, or one really bad team and two other mediocre teams, and the Indians are meh right now. So, yeah. Not that they're going to be a playoff contender, but.
Here's the thing, though, John. They have a negative run differential.
There you go.
This team will end up at 70 wins.
So do you have any idea how long the ovation was for Bruce Bochy on opening day at the Oracle?
I was surprised that they didn't put a time on it.
Because it was a long time.
It was a long time, but I just kept seeing like it was long. It just kept going and going.
It was worth it, though.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
I mean, look. I'm a Giants, I don't want to say hater, but I'm a Dodgers fan, so I don't like the Giants. But what that guy did with those teams, unbelievable. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer manager.
Absolutely.
I mean, the mustache alone, I know he switched over to the goatee and whatever.
The voice.
The mustache alone puts him on the cusp of the Hall of Fame. And then the World Series wins.
Does
great
it.
Manager, and I feel a little bit bad actually for him that this is the team.
Yeah, he goes down. He goes out with right.
That's his last hurrah. Like that's. I think we had an article up on the site about the Swan Song team, and it just. I mean, they're going to start trading guys off, and then, oh man.
He may decide to opt out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be left with bare bones by the end of the season.
He's going to barge into the manager's office and demand to be traded.
One of the things that I heard this, I think I read it on our website in one of our newsletter post things.
Oh, wait a second. Some people don't know this. We have a weekly newsletter.
Yes, we do. All you got to do is sign up on our site.
Yeah.
Drop in your
box score.
Yeah. The box score.
Gives you a quick recap of the stories of the week with a little humorous,
humor is always included. If you don't read the entire thing, read the last sentence of every one of the information tidbits, and you'll be laughing for the day. So
yeah, try to inject a little humor into
baseball.
Otherwise, somewhat humdrum baseball existence.
But there was mention in the most recent one of the juice baseball emerging again. Usually, pitchers dominate in the first month of the season. That isn't happening.
Right. Home run rate is up. And my understanding is that they're actually doing tests on the balls, and the balls are bouncier. And you know, John, time out here for a message from our new sponsor, Bouncing Balls. When your balls get too bouncy, go see a doctor.
You're right. Not a good thing.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got.
There's no need to prostrate yourself.
No, over this
for
one.
A prostate problem.
Right. Jorge Polanco, first cycle of the year.
Yes.
And it was like the seventh or eighth game of the season, so that was exciting. Totally.
And now, speaking of steroids, he got busted for steroids. He came back. He hit well without the steroids, or with, I guess, better steroids.
Great,
we never
masking.
Really know. Yeah, better masking agents.
Right.
Young player for the Twins. This is an interesting thing. What if this guy turns out to be a really good shortstop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two of the best Twins prospects coming. Well, they have four, like, great prospects. Two of them are shortstops. Royce Lewis and Wander Javier. And then, of course, there's Alex Kirilloff and Trevor Larnach. But those are outfielders. Yeah, of course. But Byron Buxton's kind of hitting right now.
Yeah,
like he's
the kids are?
What, 280, 290? And the crazy defense for Buxton. He's so crazy good out there. I don't know. This Twins team, I guess, you can almost squint and see a contender here.
Yeah. They're close. They had a lot of reclamation projects on the pitching side, but they're getting there. I think their pitching is ultimately going to be where they're going to need to bolster their team.
Yeah.
Barrios can't win every game, but if he
did,
that would be amazing.
I mean, that would be great. What if he just pitched every game and won every one of them?
And then they can trade for Shane Green and he can close them out.
Okay, so they have a bullpen problem, right? The Twins. Oh, we'll get into this stuff later because we're going to go team by team.
Yeah, team by
but anyway,
team.
I just thought it was exciting. Jorge Polanco is a great young player. I always get excited about the young players starting to show their thing. Good for Jorge.
And the Cardinals extended Matt Carpenter.
Yep.
2 years, $37 million. Everybody's
extension
doing the extension
Palooza
dance.
Is winding down.
Oh, there'll be more.
This is like that. It's like the expansion, or this is like extension Coachella, and this is sort of like Sunday. You know, the bands have been playing Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday. It's been hot, and it's like this is like on a side stage.
Right.
There's just a couple of people there. They don't really know where or when they are. So in the Coachella Palooza, in the extension
like
Coachella, Extenchella thing we've got going on. It's just those little trickler.
What did you think about Boris's comments about this is bad for baseball and it's undermining players and the big extension that Acuna signed was way undervalued and this is just hurting the economics of baseball? It's hurting his pocket.
What he was saying was drowned out by the noise of the tiniest violin.
Right.
I mean, look, there is something to be said. Like, the teams are taking a gamble, and the players are taking a gamble that, look, if you go year to year, you're going to make the most money, period.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, don't you just want to have your $100 million locked up? Or Acuna is like, he lost out on what, $30 million at the end, but like he was going to be making $500,000 this year.
Right.
Now he's making $11 million.
Right. I don't see a problem with that. I really don't. And it changes
the
economics.
Wants all
why
the numbers
should we
to go
reward
up, right?
people after their best years? Unless they're staying with the same team, then it makes sense. But if you're Albert Pujols and then you go to the Angels for sick money and you don't come in anywhere close to that value.
Yeah.
Maybe you're rewarding the player, you know.
Well, again, the Pujols thing is so complicated because the Angels were doing it in order to get a better TV deal and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pujols' money is not really the Josh Hamilton contracts,
that
the Chris Davis contracts. Those are the stupid contracts. And I think those are the contracts that we're not going to see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think teams now, all the shitty owners are detached from their teams now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they may still own the team, but they have the smart people run every team to varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
There's no longer like Ruben Amaro Jr. who's like, oh, I'm going to trade over here. Or Ned Colletti, who's like, what does it matter if I give this guy $100 million?
Right.
Frank McCourt will just sell another parking lot or whatever.
yeah.
But I think you're going to see
economics
like...
economics are good.
Yeah, I think you're going to see the players look at, like, look, I just want to have the money. Like, how? Why do you need? What's the, honestly, John, between you and me, what's the difference between $100 million and $130 million? I'll say, like, in more realistic terms, and not to brag or anything, but the difference between $100,000 in a year guaranteed and $130,000 that, like, well, maybe the bottom falls out in June is
huge.
That's a significant difference. I would take the $100,000.
So would I. Yeah.
I mean, I know friends who are in, like, in bands, right? And publishing deals are similar to this. They'll give you, they'll say, look, we'll give you $100,000 for the rights to your music, or we'll give you $50,000 and you get a piece of the stuff as a bigger piece as the album does well. Take the $100,000. You're still going to get money if the album does well, just not as much.
Right.
But take the $100,000. And I
take it.
Just take the money. Yeah, it's $100 million. Dollars. He blows out his knee tomorrow, and, like, then what?
Yeah, baseball's not a contact sport, so the chances of that, you know. But you play 162 games.
Yeah.
It's not like 15 games a year.
Yeah. David Dahl hurt himself swinging the bat.
Right.
Like, Alex Bregman just signed a major extension. He hurt his hamstring running from first base to second base.
And Brock Holt got poked in the eye.
You take the money.
Take the money. You never know. You never
and then
know.
When it comes time, your free agency is there, and your team didn't see fit to give you an extension, or you refused or whatever, then try to get the best deal you can, but you have to be a little bit more careful in this market. Teams are not falling for the, wow, this guy is a clutch performer. Wow, this guy really has a veteran presence.
No.
I mean, well, except for Eric Hosmer. That might be the last of the contracts, right? Because then it's just like, every one of these is a bad contract. And not to mention for the Padres, like, they don't need another first baseman.
No.
You had a first baseman.
Right.
But they wanted to, like, we want to establish a blah, 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 blah. Okay, whatever.
It
Your
was
team's worse now.
Buying the name.
Yeah.
Satisfying the fan base and marketing opportunities to sell advertising.
Yeah.
Hell, you know, you got to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like the Marlins right now are struggling, even with the new ownership, to get somebody to pay for the naming rights for a stadium that's been on the market since 2012. It's still Marlins Park. You know, we're 7 years later and there's no sponsorship. That's lost revenue for the organization.
What if like a tuna company that has a bad track record with dolphins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it and just like plays into it. Like, yeah, we're not only putting dolphin in our tuna, we're also putting Marlins. Gary's Tuna Park, something like that.
Right.
No?
That would be good. There's a good article in the Sun Sentinel talking about how it's taken 2 years and a half of the new ownership to win back corporate sponsorship and even some people went on the record to say how soured they were by the Loria regime and how they really could care less about them. All they wanted was their money. And when they didn't renew, they were like, well, screw you. We'll go get somebody else.
Right.
It's like, well, no, you won't because your brand is horrible.
Right. So but they've got the new logo now with the Marlin humping the M. Mm-hmm,
right. And they're
getting
up.
Excited.
The 2020
shape
season,
of,
they
shape
should get
of
a
water.
New TV contract, too. So there could be some money there. So they'll be able to spend a little bit more than their. But then again, they have the second lowest of the salary in the league. But the team below them is the Rays. And the Rays are one of the better teams in baseball. So.
Right.
We shall see.
Who are they paying money to? Who's on the Marlins that they're paying money to? Castro, probably.
Castro.
He's hitting well. Maybe they could trade him off to someone, trade back to the Yankees.
Right.
The MASH unit that is.
Yeah,
it
continues to get worse. Severino's, you know, shoulder injury turns into a lat strain that he wasn't aware of because he was still concerned about the shoulder. And then when he starts
his
throwing program,
pitch this year.
Yeah, it could be. That's not a good injury for a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, bounce back from that, you know, very quickly. So, you know, will the Yankees go out and sign Dallas Keuchel? Cashman says no. We're going to make do with what we have.
Well, they got Gio Gonzalez,
right
down in the minors, but he's been
terrible. CeCe Sabathia is coming back. So, you know, Yankee fans, the recruits are coming. CeCe and Gio.
Yeah.
Yay.
And then they just need to get Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton,
yeah.
Dellin Betances.
Just the MASH unit.
D.D. Gregorius. They just need to get then everyone else. Jacoby Ellsbury?
Yeah, no, okay. Who hasn't played in 2 years.
All right, now we're just talking Narnia here.
So how bad is Mike Trout's, speaking of extensions and followed by injuries, and how severe was his groin strain?
It was severe enough for him to miss a game, but I think he's supposed to be back,
so he's day
back
to day.
In action. Yeah.
Okay, so he
I mean, look, all guys know you get a groin strain, no matter how you got it, you perverts. You just gotta chill out for a little bit.
Yep.
And it's fine.
And it's one of those injuries like a hamstring that's easy to re-injure if you come back too soon.
Yeah, and you don't want it. Look, no one wants their groin to pop.
All right? No.
That's the last thing you want. I mean, okay, there's a couple other things that are the last things you want, because then they're literally the last things that you get, and then it's, you know,
Ryu had a popped groin, didn't he? And he had to repair his groin, and now he kind of re-injured it, so he's... I don't think it was as bad as it was before, but still.
Yeah. Oof.
That's not an injury. It's like Achilles heel to me. That's like one of the... Tearing the Achilles is one of the worst injuries that you can possibly have, because it's so debilitating and hard to come back from.
Yeah.
This is the injury show, Jim John. So Robinson Cano, who lived in New York City for quite a long time, should know his way around a little bit, got lost.
Well, in his defense, he was used to playing in the Bronx and not playing in Queens.
Okay.
They landed really late because there was a delay. They got out of their game late. It's a delay on the tarmac. They get into the clubhouse late. They drop off all their stuff. Then they head back to their respective homes. He's got it on the GPS. He's got the wrong thing. Hey, it happens to all of us. But at a certain point, you got to go like, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm heading south and not north.
Right. You have a little bit of an idea of where you're going.
Yeah. Also, most of the streets are numbered in New York, pal.
Right. And it's a grid, last time I checked.
Yeah.
Right.
By the way, one of the most genius grids in the history of ever, they came up with this thing like 200 years ago, the grid.
And I think they looked at Boston and said, we're not doing that. Because that's a mess.
I think you could say that about a lot of things in Boston. As a Boston fan, I can say, ew.
Yeah. So let's see what else we got here. So this must be came out in Fortune magazine. All Major League Baseball teams worth at least $1 billion for the first time.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Every team.
Every team. I think the Yankees came in somewhere like around $5 billion.
Jeez. That's crazy. I remember when they were the first team to go over.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, they're the biggest brand in the world. And Manchester United said, not so fast.
Right.
And at the time, I think they were like around $2 billion when the Yankees went over the billion mark. But the Yankees are most valuable and...
Marlins last.
But the good news is, I guess, for the new ownership is that they paid $1.2 billion. So at least it's in that ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 10 years from now, it'll be worth $2 billion at least.
So they just got to sweat it out for 10 more years and get their money back. Loria made a fortune on the Marlins.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he bought the Marlins for like $150 million and sold it for $1.2 billion.
Well, yeah, that's like the Angels were purchased for $180 million.
Yeah.
And you look at that now, you're just like, I mean, Artie Moreno, the Angels have to be worth, I didn't see their name, but it has to be worth at least $2 billion.
Yeah.
So that means he's 10 times the value of the team.
Savvy investing.
Yeah.
Gotta
also
have it.
I just think that with sports now, with the way that you guarantee live viewership, I just think that in the media world, I think that it is the safest thing to bet on entertainment wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a wide and far.
Yeah.
As far as and you know, people are like, oh, you know, NFL's untouchable. Controversy or two away, and all of a sudden money starts going in the opposite direction. Basketball was, you know, wallowing back in the late 80s, early 90s, and then boom, completely resurrected into this unbelievable contracts that they're paying people now. Hockey still don't know where that is. They're not big money by any means.
You don't know where it is, John, because you can't see the puck. Where's the puck?
They have to light it up. Remember when they had that lit? They used to light it up.
The
glowing puck floating around the ice.
Ah. Yeah. And then if they hit it really hard, it would glow red.
Yeah.
Yes!
That's pinball. The old pinball hockey game.
Not how I would have handled the situation.
Trump's America has entered into the Major League Baseball arena. They have voided the deal, the MLB Cuba deal. I don't know all the details because I really don't keep my finger on the pulse of the news of the U.S. now that I'm no longer there. I scan headlines. So tell me more about what happened.
Okay, so the White House, because the deal involves the Cuban government getting 25% of the player contract.
Got it.
The White House is like, well, you're just funding a communist government.
Right.
And like, is it like South Korea?
Trafficking. Right.
Right. Is it like South Korea? Is it like Japan where they get to post their players and they get a piece and whatever? Yeah, but the country doesn't get the money.
Right.
The leagues get the money in those other places. In this case, the country runs the league in Cuba. Hence the thingies.
It's a sticky situation.
It's a sticky situation. On the one hand, I'm not a fan of human trafficking.
Yeah.
Even if you do have it set up as a side business, John.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan either.
Okay. So sometimes you do the work you have to do in order to do the work you want to do. I get it.
Sure. There's an end, a means to the end.
Exactly.
Let's see.
At the same time, like, I also don't know about funding communist regimes. I'm not super cool on that. So hard to... I'm kind of on the fence on this one.
Yeah, we'll see. So the American League, the Atlantic League, that was going to do the robot umpire experiment has decided to kind of postpone that. Is it because the technology is not advanced enough? Or
I think that they're still installing all the units on all the stadiums. And then they still have to, like, test them all.
Okay.
And you know how they're doing it? They're doing it. Like, the way it's going to be is that the umpire has an earpiece. This is what you and I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The umpire has an earpiece, and it just tells him, like, ball, strike, ball, strike. Well, the umpire can override it because one problem is, like, if a ball bounces mm-hmm. and then goes Crossed through the strike zone, it does get called a strike.
Right.
But what I would love is if it was ball, strike, or, like, gray area.
Like, your call.
And then let the umpire call that. Like, no way is wrong on that one.
Well, there's going to be times when it glitches, too, and the umpire can't be sitting there going, like, I'm not sure. Let's go to the replay. So, yeah, they got to have the ability to do that. So we'll look forward to that getting up and running.
But, like, if a ball's 3 feet outside and it gets called a strike, the umpire can override it, my understanding.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
This is the way to use technology, man.
Yeah.
Not into this instant replay stuff too much. I mean, I like getting it right and all that, but this is how you use technology. Then you replace all the players with robots. Come on.
Yeah, but then there's the calls of, well, you know, we the video evidence isn't close enough, so we're not going to call it. Or the video evidence is so slight that it's like, oh yeah, we caught a fingernail, you know, touched the basketball, therefore we're going to override the call. You know,
for
fans of the NCAA March Madness Final Four championship game, the games that were decided by questionable.
The lesson is always, John, trim your damn fingernails.
That's right. So Lenny Dykstra, I think this is the second time this season we've talked about him, probably the fourth or fifth time in the last two seasons.
I'm going to be honest with you, John. It's never enough. If we had a Lenny Dykstra segment for each show,
that would be a good thing. Maybe we can get him
on.
It'd
be heaven on earth.
He's probably looking for pub opportunities. He's probably the one Major League Baseball player that we could get on our show.
Yeah.
We'll look into it. But he's suing Ron Darling for comments that he made about him in Darling's new book.
Yeah. Now, I want to say right now up front, just personal biases, I want to just be totally open. I admire Lenny Dykstra as a player. I think he's a wackadoo after being a player. Mm-hmm. His business stuff is crazy. The drug stuff is crazy. I can't stand Ron Darling.
No,
he was a solid pitcher, but he is just, oh God, he's insufferable in the booth.
Yeah.
And he's got that little bit of a lisp thing.
You've mentioned that before. I've never really picked up just, on it.
Oh, like I know you can't punch a sound, but if you could, that would be a sound. Just him yammering. Ah. Anyway, so Ron Darling decided he needed to write a book and that the world wanted to read a book by Ron Darling. By the way, I think he's mistaken about that. Second of all, he included a story where allegedly Lenny Dykstra was yelling racist stuff at an African-American player on the other team. By the way, Lenny Dykstra's teammates of African-American, former African, have come to his defense saying they never experienced anything like this, whatever. Dykstra is suing Ron Darling for this. Now, here's the thing, right? He can sue all he wants, but he's not going to win because there's no proof either way. Right. And in the United States, the First Amendment laws are a little bit looser than other countries that literally don't have a First Amendment because right. they don't have a Bill of Rights. And you need to be a little more careful what you say. If you tweet something mean onto the internet, you could be arrested. You can't have that in the United States, fortunately.
Yeah.
But people can say stuff about public figures that may not be true. And as long as it's not proven that there was an intent to deceive or an intent to lie, and that it is in fact a lie,
Can't
sue for jack squat.
Right. It's his recollection, his word against Dykstra's word.
Right.
So that wraps up headlines.
Yeah.
And everything Lenny Dykstra for this episode. Let's move
for
on
this to episode. More to
nine.
Come.
Yeah. So for starting nine, in honor of this week's kickoff, weekend's kickoff of Game of Thrones, the final
yes.
season. Nine players with Game of Thrones character names. And I'm surprised we haven't done this before.
We have done this before, John.
Oh, okay.
But
I take that
these
back.
These are all new. Well, I don't want to say all new. There's a couple of them. I just picked them up.
Okay.
Let me be honest with you. But you know what? That's what happens with recurring characters. They stick around.
Right. They do.
All right. So nine players with Game of Thronesy names, right? John Snowmar Mazzara.
There you go. That's a good one.
Right?
Snowmar.
Yeah.
John Snowmar.
That's a new one. Snowmar.
Yeah.
Sonny Theon Greyjoy.
I like that.
Sonny Gray. Now with the Reds. Before he, I think we fitted before, he was actually with the Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pickup.
A while ago.
This is a new one. Gregor E. Polanco Clegane. Gregor Clegane. Uh-huh. Right? Gregor
Good.
E. Polanco.
Yeah,
all
sure.
right. Brienne Dozier of Tarth.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Chris Davos. Davos? Is that Davos?
Davos?
Chris Davos Seaworth.
Okay.
But this time, I did Chris with a K.
Oh, a big difference, yes.
It's a pickup we did from the last time, Chris with a C. Next up, Jake Hodor Easy.
Hodor Easy. I like that one. That's
yeah.
a good one.
Now, he's the only dead character that I think we use here.
Oh.
But he's just so good.
Rest
just
in
Hodor
peace.
Easy is just too good. Rest in peace, Hodor. Hold that door, Hodor.
Hold that door, Hodor.
Hector Daenerys Targaryen.
There you go.
Which my Word document is telling me that I have spelled incorrectly Targaryen. Oh. So
that's okay. No one can see it.
Here we go. Cersa Anthony Dominguez Lannister. Sir
cool.
Anthony Dominguez. Cersei. All right. Next one. Garia Starkchez. Garia Starkchez.
That's good.
And then we did this one last time. I loved it so much. Doing it again. For Tyrion Lannister, we've got Jose Altuve.
The short guy.
The short guy.
Ah, that was good. Excited to see season 7, 8? Final season.
Seven continuation. I am not going to be able to watch it this weekend, John, due to work conflicts with my wife. She will be working that day, and I am smart enough to know not to watch it by myself.
Yeah. That would be cause for sleeping on the couch.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't want to do that.
Don't want to do it.
Yeah. There's been TV shows and movies where it's like you just don't go see them by yourself. It's just not worth the aggravation. Even if you want to see it on opening weekend, you just bite your tongue. Sit down.
Bite it.
Hard. Okay, let's move on to Around the Horn. We're going to do first impressions for each team so far into this young season, 2 weeks in.
Yeah, we're about 12 games in, right, overall, 11 to 13, depending on the team.
Yeah, and we have the A's who played more than anybody because of their – I don't know why the A's have played 16 games and the Mariners only 14 since they both kicked off. Oh, I guess there was some rainouts in there too, so some people have suffered from weather inclement.
Well, as Millie Vanilli once said, blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain. So first impressions for each team. I read off the name. Jed gives it off the top of his head, as he always does, his first impression.
Zero research. Bringing back the zero. Zero research.
Okay. The Braves.
Okay. They still have a starting pitching problem. They're off to a good start because all three of those teams are tied, the three good teams. Mm-hmm. Or there's four, right? The Nationals are... just a game out. Anyway, it's that division is basically playing exactly like everyone thought.
Thought it would, right.
But I still think that the Braves need another reliever and a starter.
Mets.
The Mets pitching has been not great. Mm-hmm. But their offense has been surprisingly good. And Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
What a revelation.
Himself.
Yeah.
Good reason to bring him up.
They didn't hold him back for the first 2 weeks, right?
Didn't need to.
His service time or whatever. He comes up, guy's banging home runs. He's got, what, five or six? Yeah. Sheesh.
Yeah. And he's the real deal. Phillies.
Phillies, again, with the pitching problem. You know, a lot of people are into this Nick Pivetta guy. I am not into this guy. He's got good stuff for strikeouts, but he just gives up too many hard hit balls. And you know, John... there's only so many hard-hit balls a guy can take.
Right. How about the Nationals?
The Nationals, let me see. They've been kind of good, right? Like, they just haven't really won their games.
They had a couple of implosion games.
Yeah, okay. Well, they had that one game where they were up, like, 14 to nothing. And then, like, then they wound up winning 14 to 8. Like, you got to put that game away. The other team isn't even really trying, and you're giving up 8 runs. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, Strasburg has looked good, and Scherzer looks good, and Patrick Corbin looks good.
Yeah.
Those
teams are going to beat each other up all season long.
Yeah.
But then they have the Marlins. So, how about the Marlins?
They all have winning records, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we all expected. And then there's the Marlins.
And what do you think?
I'm telling you, this pitching staff, though, the starting rotation, I know the bullpen is junk, I know the offense is junk, but this pitching staff is really yummy.
Yeah.
I mean, Caleb Smith, Pablo Lopez, and Sandy Alcantara, like, mm-hmm. that is good stuff.
It's a good foundation,
man,
for the future, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, at least one of those turns into a number two starter. Mm-hmm. And Caleb Smith kind of has a little hint of maybe being a number one. Crazy, you know, not necessarily Chris Sale number one, but you know, more like the, I don't know, what's a good number one that's in the middle area there? Carrasco?
Okay.
Carrasco's number three on his own team, but he's a number one level player.
Right.
Like Walker Buehler. Like Caleb Smith has a Walker Buehler quality.
Nice. I like that as a Marlins fan. Red Sox.
Didn't we already do that? We have to talk about this again, John? The offense isn't clicking and the pitching isn't clicking and the bullpen actually kind of seems okay.
Yankees.
Injuries, man. Injuries. Losing record and against, they've been playing some easy teams too, mm-hmm. but that is not the lineup that people thought they were going to have to see out there.
Blue Jays.
That's a bad team.
Yeah.
I know they beat the Red Sox for the home opener for the Red Sox, but you look at that lineup and it's a bunch of 180 hitters, mm-hmm. And yeah, they're all going to come up above 200, but that is a bad baseball team. And Freddie Galvis is their top hitter right now. Yeah. And I know here comes Vlad Guerrero Jr. next week-ish, right? They already promoted him to AAA, and then next week the service time issues go away.
Right.
And then next, here comes Kayvan Biggio, and here comes Bo Bichette. And we'll see. But, you know, and I'm always a Rowdy Tellez guy, but that's just a bad team.
Speaking of bad teams, the Orioles.
That is a very, very bad team. This is another team where you look at the lineup and you're just like, how are these guys ever going to score runs? And I know it's baseball, so the ball always finds a way and teams always are able to get runs. But yeah, the pitching is bad and the fielding is suspect. And they've got like four guys, Austin Hayes, DJ Stewart, Ryan Mountcastle, and Chance Sisko in the minor leagues that should be on their major league team now. Mm-hmm. But aren't, and it's unclear whether they're trying to push service time issues or they're just, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
The Rays.
Well, this is the best team in baseball right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're not giving up any runs and they're scoring a good amount of runs.
That's winning baseball.
That's how you do it. That's how you're going to win all the games. Their bullpen is strong. They have a kind of an odd, you know, mix and match bullpen, but it's basically, you know, who's it? Alvarado. He's basically the closer. And some other guys will get saves because you got to rest Alvarado and stuff. But, like, they're doing the starter, the opener in some games, and that works. And Yonny Chirinos has been great. And he's their number, what, 3-4 starter? Like, Snell's been great. Morton's been Morton.
Right. Doesn't matter where he goes.
Glasnow has been incredible. He's got an under 0.5 ERA. Yeah.
How about the Pirates?
I mean, this is the toughest division. But this is like a 500 team. You look at the lineup. I know Gregory Polanco, or shall I say Gregor E. Polanco Clegane, is coming back a little earlier than they thought. He could be back as soon as the 1st of May. Maybe leaving a little bit sooner. But that's a weak offense, and the pitching just, I mean, there's Jameson Taillon, and then it's just kind of like guys. Mm-hmm. Trevor Williams is a guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like Joe Musgrove, but there's a lot of guys there.
Right. Cubs off to a surprisingly slow start, too.
Very Red Soxian, except the Cubs' run differential is basically zero. So, like, they should be 500.
Mm-hmm.
They've been scoring runs, but the starting pitching has been, I don't want to use the word problematic, but I'm going to use problematic. It's been problematic, John.
And Lester's on the IL now.
And Lester was the one that wasn't problematic. Right. He was the one that was actually getting guys out.
Mm-hmm. Brewers.
Well, I love the Brewers. You know, we've talked about, I thought the Cubs win the division, but I think it's just a toss-up between the Cubs and the Brewers. I think they're just a fantastic team. They got Freddy Peralta, though. This is a crazy thing. His first game, he comes out, he gets lit up. Second game, he comes out, Cy Young performance. Mm-hmm. 11 strikeouts over 7 innings, totally dominant. Comes out against the Angels, gives up like 6 or 7 runs, just a big turd there out on the mound. And, you know, I think he's just a young guy who's like not adjusting to the teams mm-hmm. he's pitching to. Because mm-hmm. as far as I could tell, not to get too technical or whatever, but like he was basically attacking the Angels the same way he had gone in the previous game. It's a different team. You got to go at them differently. You can't just pump fastballs by a team that's sitting on fastballs. Right. You got to mix it up. Throw some changeups. So, hell, throw 50% curveballs. Get them off their game.
Mm-hmm.
But they were waiting on his fastball, and they found it, and they were knocking him around.
How about the Reds?
The Reds. They've won a couple games, haven't
they? They have. They've been blown out.
None of their guys are hitting yet. Their pitching is kind of suspect, but Luis Castillo.
Yeah, he's
Luis
dominated.
Castillo doing this year what everyone thought he was going to do last year, but he's doing it now, and it's awesome. Like, I think he set some record, didn't he? Like, the first pitcher ever to start a season with 3 consecutive something or others that also had a thingy what's it and a hoozy what's it. Like, he set the record for that.
Yeah, so look it up, folks. Astros.
Astros are the best team in that division. Great pitching, great hitting, great bullpen. They're the best team in that.
Angels.
The Angels are a good team. They just, I mean, Justin Upton's out for another, what, 6-8 weeks? I don't know. The hitting's not really coming along. Justin Bour's batting fourth and hitting 180. Like, come on, guys. Let's get it going. But the pitching's been solid and the bullpen's been solid.
Rangers.
That's a bad baseball team. They're going to score some runs because it's Texas, and the lineup is built to score some runs. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, pitching. Halfway through the season, they'll trade Asdrubal Cabrera to someone who needs a third base, shortstop, second base guy. Joey Gallo's been great. Mm-hmm. I mean, still low batting average, but, you know, on base. Power, walks. On base league, he's really coming into his own this year.
The A's.
They're 500 also, but they're better than that. Mm-hmm. And not just because, you know, they beat up the Red Sox. But they just, I still think they need another starting pitcher. They were going to have Jesus Luzardo, but he is out an extra, whatever, they were saying 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know what his, I can't find anything on the internet about what's happening with him. But that's a great, that's what they need. So maybe they don't even need a trade for someone. They just need to have him get healthy and show up. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mariners.
I mean, best record in baseball. A little smoke and mirrorsy, but the pitching's been solid and the bullpen has been
suspect.
Solid. There's kind it's of a mix and match.
Mix and match. Three, four guys like, have saves already. It's
it's
a little it's bit like a little queasy with the bullpen. But they're scoring runs and it really doesn't matter. At right now.
But they're scoring runs.
They're gonna need that down the road.
And Vogelbach with the walks and the home runs.
Crazy.
Again, very Gallo-ish.
Yeah. Five home runs already.
Does he have five?
Yeah, limited role.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the guy who just needed the opportunity. He's been given like these little 30 to 40 at bat opportunities. And we're like, well, no, he didn't set the record for 30 to, you know, performance and 30 at bats. So we send him back down to the minors.
Right.
But he just needs to be out there getting at bats. And the Mariners are in a position. Domingo Santana, I told you, was going to be awesome. He's been awesome.
League leader right now.
That's right. And he got screwed by the Brewers. Not in a bad way, but like, this is a really good player who they like, no, we're going to replace you with two also really good players with Lorenzo Cain. And I think it's still a great trade. Ben Gamel to the Brewers and that's a great pickup for the Brewers because there's a little more defense there. Mm-hmm. Lefty bat. Domingo Santana, obviously you're giving up something on defense if he has to play in the field, but
He's driving in runs.
I could see the Mariners getting to 500 this year. Like I could see them settling in for that.
Yeah, we'll have to do the Mariners watch. We'll check in on them every week and see if they're sliding towards 500 or, you know, maintaining a healthy above 500.
Right.
It'll be an interesting team to watch.
If they're sliding towards 500.
Right.
Sure.
The Padres.
The Padres have basically been exactly what I thought they would be, except they've won a couple more games than they should have. They have a negative run differential, which means they got a couple of fluky wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their pitching staff is good. It's not great. Paddock is rookie, he's learning the thing. Lucchese, a couple of really good starts, and then got blowsed up by the Giants of all teams. Mm-hmm. The offense is going to struggle because it's not a very good offensive team and it's not a very good offensive field to play at.
Right.
But Machado's, you know, good and
Two rookies in the starting lineup, too. Got
a couple of rooks out there. Yeah. And yeah.
Dodgers.
That's, to me, obviously the class of that division, and I think they're the best team in the National League. And they've lost three, I think, to the Cardinals. But, you know, you're coming down from Colorado, blah, blah, blah. Kershaw's looking good in the minors. He's going to start in the majors Sunday or Monday. I think this is a very, very good team with so much offensive power, right. And it just needs to get... if you take Joe Kelly out of the equation, I swear, this is the best team in baseball. But they still have Joe Kelly, and they're not just going to send him down to the minors to work on anything. No. Like, he's a World Series hero, Joe Kelly.
Right. Giants.
But Giants, that's a bad baseball team. I don't think that they're going to be, like, embarrassingly bad, because I think that park, Bochy's there. You got some good players. They're going to piece together some wins. So you're going to talk about, like, we're not talking about a 50-win team, but it is, you know, 65 to 70-win team still.
Rockies.
Well, the Rockies' problem is they can't score runs.
Which is surprising.
Which is very surprising.
Right.
And now they're back on the road again. I think they go to the Giants next. And that's not a place to get healthy with runs. No. And then Dahl is injured. And Ryan McMahon is injured. And Daniel Murphy is injured. And, like, that's not the way to get more runs.
No, no.
And Hampson has been a joke. Yeah, I mean, I know, hitting below 100. He got his first hit in 20 at-bats or whatever. Like, okay, Chris Davis, back to you.
Right, yeah.
But, so wow, he has been.
He was hyped coming into the season. And he hasn't – well, I think the injury to Murphy moved McMahon to first, which allowed him to play second. And it just has not worked out too well.
He had a really good spring training. And maybe – and I look, I don't want to question the Rockies management, because I do that all the time anyway. But, like, maybe they got inside his head, making him think he wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying that little extra hard that you try.
Right. So then, last but least, always, is the American League Central. Not a lot of sexiness happening there so far this season, although the Tigers have been a surprise. How about the Tigers?
Tigers, again, negative run differential, so... Everything with a grain of salt here. Maybe they can win 75 on the year. Like, that would be a positive for them. Get the players the playing time. See who's good. They got a couple guys in the minors, a couple of pitchers in the minors coming. Casey Mize, Matt Manning. Ooh, carumba. I was watching GIFs of Matt Manning's pitching performance the other day. He struck out like 7 in four innings at one point. And it's just a crazy movement on his pitches. And he might be better than Casey Mize, and Casey Mize is a potential number one.
Yeah. Indians.
I mean, they need Lindor, and they need Jose Ramirez to start hitting over 100.
Like, that'll help, yeah. Offense has been dormant.
120 or whatever. Yeah. But that whole offense is just like, if you're in fantasy baseball, like, why not throw a pitcher against the Indians? They're probably not going to hit very well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they're hitting right now.
Twins
have been sort of solid all around, right? Like, solid pitching. Barrios has been very good. Solid offense, very good defense. The bullpen is a question mark and will be a question mark until they sign Craig Kimbrell or trade for someone or just, you know, move to next year. But that's a good team.
White Sox.
This is a team that's not going to win a lot of games, but I love Yoan Moncada is looking like he may have figured some stuff out. And then Eloy Jimenez is still struggling a little bit. You know, they always do when they come up. Well, not always, but Mike Trout did.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout was trash when he first came up for the Angels. Give him a few months. You'll see a guy will be hitting 300, 280 by the end of the season.
Yeah. And last but not least, the Royals.
Now, this is a terrible baseball team with almost no offense, no pitching, and no relieving.
And a 9-game losing streak.
Is it a 9-game losing streak?
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at their standing. Yeah, that's right. They're 1-9, and they're 2-9, 1-9 in the last 10. Minus 19 run differential, that means they're just barely losing.
Right.
But yeah, that's what happens when you don't really have an offense. I mean, they've got, at the top of their lineup, it's Whit Merrifield, Billy Hamilton, and Adalberto Mondesi. Like, those are good players, but that's not a powerful offense.
No. And Alex Gordon seems a little bit on the upswing.
Yeah.
Early.
Alex Gordon always has like a little streaky guy, and he's still just such a giant waste of money.
Yeah.
And Soler looks solid, but again, like on a team like that, what does it matter?
Right. Yeah. You're getting lost. And if you're the best player and you're hitting 280 on a team that's 1-9, You know,
might as well just kill yourself, if you ask me.
Well, that'll do it for around the horn. Let's get into extra innings and take a look on what's going on outside the world of baseball.
Let's do it.
Big shocker. Magic Johnson, just out of the blue, doesn't even tell management that he's retiring. He retires to the media.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, very weird. Here's the thing, John. When I moved to New York, I was like, you know what? I'm a little tired of the whole Lakers thing, the weird stuff there that's going on there and the weird management stuff. I'm going to start getting into the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look, that's a bad team, but they know they're bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they're trying to do this. And it was a little bit difficult when they traded Porzingis. Because, mm-hmm. like, this is like the sort of, this was my anchor on this. Like, right. Well, at least they've got Porzingis, you right. know? Like, all right, that'll be cool. They got Porzingis. And I'm going to be honest with you, John. I don't think that the Lakers are in a position to actually do well. Mm-hmm. I know they had a bunch of injuries this year, but they don't have Jerry West running this team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry West was who was building these teams
right.
and getting these players. And, you know, maybe they overthought the LeBron thing. Like, I thought people liked LeBron more than it seems like they do. It seems like there's a lot of players who not only don't like him, but are willing to openly say they don't like him.
I think it's more a matter of the stars want to be the stars. They don't want to be a second fiddle.
Yeah, but even guys who have taken second fiddle positions,
they get championships. Wade did. Bosch did.
But what I'm saying is, like, even people who were saying that's what I'm saying, but Wade took second place position with LeBron. Why? But now all of a sudden no one wants to take second position to LeBron. Like,
just his friends. It's just so when he's playing with his friends, they do well.
Yeah.
Because he's able to talk his friends into, to, you know, taking second.
I don't know what their money situation is for next year for free agents, but we'll see.
It could be another.
It's a mess.
Yeah, missed the playoffs first time for LeBron in a long time. So he's like, what do I do? He'll be healthy next year, that's for sure. He took the last six games.
Well, he'll be
off.
Rested.
Yeah, for sure.
He'll be rested.
Kim Kardashian, this is all you because I don't keep up with the Kardashian clan.
John, you say this every time. Just read the news item.
You want me to read it? Sometimes I like
just
to hand
read,
it off
read
to you.
The line. Just
oh,
read
this,
the line.
I can tell you have something set up.
No,
for
I don't. I just want, like, every time you mention, like, you don't need to give the disclaimer. No one thinks you know anything about Kim Kardashian.
I don't. And
I know
do
you
I
don't.
To.
And we know that too. And you know what? Maybe in the future we'll just start the show with that.
We should. We should start because I don't know how many people listen this far into the show.
No one does. That's the best part.
Okay. Kim Kardashian has revealed that she is studying to become a lawyer.
Yes. Did you know that in some states in the United States, you don't actually have to have a law degree?
Seriously?
Yeah. You can apprentice and study and take the bar exam and become a lawyer.
And where is this location that she's doing this?
California. There's like five states you can do it.
Wow.
It's why aren't more people doing this?
I'm going to do that.
Kim Kardashian is doing it.
Oof.
And look, obviously the reason why people are running with this article is because, like, it just gives them a chance to put a photo of Kim Kardashian's with her breasts all, you know, just so akimbo, if you will. Yeah, pour champagne. They want to run that photo and be like, hey, she's becoming a lawyer.
Yeah.
Your Honor, I object.
I object to these photos. Okay, last but not least, Jennifer Lopez says that Diddy apologized to A-Rod after a questionable Instagram comment on a sultry picture of, I'm assuming, Jennifer, not A-Rod.
Yes, it was on Jennifer Lopez. Now, this is one of those great 2019 headlines, basically since 2016, these sort of headlines have been popping up. It's basically like an ad libs, a mad libs of just like, these random names being thrown together in like random scenarios. So Jennifer Lopez used to date Diddy way back, right? So then Jennifer Lopez posted a photo on her Instagram where she looked sexy, which, and by the way, what's the point of posting that if you don't want people to react?
Right. That's all the main reason. Stay relevant.
Right. So then Diddy posted OMG, right? For those of you who don't know, that stands for Oh My God, right?
Or gosh, he was, depending on your...
Or my gosh, or golly.
Right.
Depending on what part of the country you're from.
Or gee willikers.
Right. I don't know that it means, because I think that would be OMGW.
It could be, right.
Not sure. We're going to have to get going to check with Oxford English on that one. Okay, so then he posts this thing, right? Which, yes, whatever. You know, some guys do that.
That's all he did.
Girls
was
putting
OMG?
Sexy photos up. Look, I don't do it because, like, first of all, I don't follow anyone that's posting sexy photos unless you consider, like, someone eating a pizza sexy, which I do. And I would put OMG and then heart eyes and a smooch and a dancing girl and a little poop emoji. Like,
who wouldn't?
And so, exactly, right? It's pizza. So then A-Rod replies,
WTF?
He's like, I'm lucky, or I'm a lucky guy.
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, what a wuss. A-Rod, what are you doing? What a lucky guy. What?
Them are fighting words. Protect your woman.
Like, come on. Look, first of all, we know he's cheating on Jennifer Lopez,
right,
anyway.
Yeah.
Well, allegedly.
Jose Canseco said so.
Canseco says, man. Don't mess around with Canseco. Canseco knows. Anyway, so all of this drama is actually just fake drama that's being ginned up to get more attention for these people who want attention.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
And it's all... But Diddy apologized.
Yeah, so then Diddy apologized to A-Rod. And so then that became a story that... But see what I'm saying? Like, it's just garbage.
It is.
It's just this filth
media.
Of media. Where it's like, who cares?
Yeah,
how is this a story?
Celebrities talking to each other. Imagine if that played out in national news, if you and I were doing something like that about something. Who cares?
Imagine if literally anyone in our immediate lives cared about anything like that.
Right. It just wouldn't
ridiculous.
Happen. But, yeah. you know, the what's his name? The Meghan Markle and Prince Harry get a Instagram account, and it within 7 hours becomes the largest, fastest Instagram account ever. Surpasses the Pope, surpasses some pop star.
Did they do one of those name merges like Hergen?
I don't know.
Harry and Meghan?
Yeah.
Hergen?
That sounds like it's Game of Thrones character.
Yeah, it's Brangelina.
Right.
It's Hergen.
What's coming up next?
Take a break from all those nerds talking about Game of Thrones and watch the next episode of The Fantasy Baseball Show.